From NPR and WBUR, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now, and authorities have spotted 15 drones over nuclear power plants in France recently. Coming up, we'll find out what is going on.
But first, what might the midterm elections mean for the economy and the business world? Yesterday, both President Obama and the probable new Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said there were areas of possible compromise. Here's McConnell.
Trade agreements. The president and I were just talking about that right before I came over here, and I think he's interested in moving forward. The president's indicated he's interested in doing tax reform. So those are two very significant areas of potential agreement.
So trade, tax reform, what else? Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Welcome.
Good to be back.
And let's start, Derek, with the stock markets. The U.S. stock markets often rise after midterms because something got resolved. Yesterday, the Dow hit an all-time high. The S&P had a record close. Can we assume that the market is happy about the sometimes regulatory allergic Republicans winning so big?
I think that investors enjoy the feeling that little is standing in between them and the abilities of companies to do whatever they want. And gridlock in Washington tends to be one of those things. It should be said, however, that we've had gridlock in Washington for the last 4 years. So this election won't necessarily change the status of gridlock. It might simply refreeze the already frozen state of bills being passed in Washington. So I think that when you look at that, you have a lot of investors who are thinking, as long as I don't have to think about what Washington is going to do, that makes me feel more confident that companies and corporations are going to be able to do what they want to do.
Well, and Mitch McConnell also said yesterday he pledged there would not be another government shutdown, no default on the national debt. We remember Republicans shut down the government last year for 2 weeks over demands that Obamacare, the health care reform, be repealed. How's that pledge being received?
It should be received quite well. It's always nice to know that the party in power in Congress has promised to not destroy the world economy by threatening to pointlessly default on U.S. debt just to make a political point. So anytime you take that gun off the table, it's going to make investors cheer. But, you know, once again, I do think that there is overall a bias in the media toward drama. There's a drama bias. Mm-hmm. Above all, we want change. We're interested in dramatic predictions and dramatic elections and dramatic outcomes of elections. But when it comes to Washington, the drama bias often gets crushed, and Washington has accomplished very, very little in the last 4 years under divided government, and it's going to accomplish very, very little, I think, in the next 2 years under even more divided government, with Republicans now controlling both the House and the Senate. So what we're looking at from the standpoint of investors, from the standpoint of the stock market, I think is more of the same.
Yeah. Well, but let's look at the indication that we heard from both President Obama and Mitch McConnell yesterday that there might be areas of compromise. Tax reform. The U.S. corporate tax rate, highest in the world, but it's rarely paid because companies often do something called corporate inversion. They send money overseas. So Republicans want to lower the corporate rate. They say it'll make it more realistic. Democrats want to focus on lowering taxes for people. What do you see here? They indicated compromise. What might it be?
They did. They did indicate compromise. They said this is an area they wanted to look at. I do think, however, that the cliche of the devil living inside of the details absolutely applies here. Critics have complained that America's high statutory rate for corporate income, which now stands at 35%, is one of the highest in the world. And research has shown, however, that companies pay a lot less thanks to all these loopholes in the tax code. And so when you think about corporate tax reform, you typically think of a deal. And the deal is we lower the overall rate of 35%. In exchange for taking out some of these loopholes. But think about how those loopholes are created. Many of the companies that have the most sway in Washington are the ones that have already negotiated for loopholes and exemptions to lower their specific effective tax rate. So the second that you say, okay, this new deal is a lower overall tax rate, a more even playing field for everybody, and you eliminate some of these special carve-outs, you specifically incense the kind of companies and the kind of lobbyists that have worked so hard to get their own tax breaks inside the code. And so for reasons like this, it's perfectly reasonable to say overall that it makes sense to have a lower overall tax rate, a cleaner code, a more even playing field to encourage companies to stay here and invest here and headquarter here. But when you start to look at some of these exemptions and loopholes that we've given companies that rely on them, it becomes very difficult to see how this is going to be as easy a battle as I think some media people are predicting.
All right. I've already lost all the hope that I had yesterday.
But I'm sorry.
What about trade deals? Trade deals anger U.S. unions, and they are big Democratic backers. So what might we see there?
If what you want, Robin, is hope, I think I can give you a little bit of hope here. I think trade is the one area in the next few months that we're going to see agreement. As you said, there is an enormous constituency in the Democratic Party that is anti these trade deals, one trans-Pacific and one trans-Atlantic. But the Democrats just got crushed. They just got crushed in the last midterm. And so Republicans who are now in power and who now have much more leverage to deal with a president who has shown some enthusiasm right. about these trade deals, they now have the upper hand. And I think we are going to see a show of good faith in the form of some trade deals reaching the president's desk and getting an autograph.
He wants to make an Asian trade deal, which Mitch McConnell has indicated he likes too. Banking regulations. Alabama Republican Senator Richard Shelby expected to head the Senate Banking Committee. He's been very critical of financial regulations, but yet we came out of the housing crisis and people are saying nothing changed. So what might we expect here?
This is really interesting head-to-head. So we have Senator Richard Shelby, as you said, an Alabama Republican who is in line to be the next chairman of the Senate Banking Committee. And he doesn't like Dodd-Frank, and he really doesn't like Janet Yellen. He is not a fan of her policies. He voted against her. They had a really interesting confrontation in Washington during her testimony.
Over at the Federal Reserve. Yep.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the head of the Federal Reserve. So I really think that you're going to see a little bit more nervousness about the Federal Reserve and its ability to make policy independently without having Republicans in the Senate Banking Committee putting a little bit of pressure on them to change the way they do business and particularly change the way that they think about their dual mandate of unemployment and inflation. You have a lot of Republicans that are much more interested in keeping a lid on inflation.
Okay. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, taking a look at some of the places for compromise, maybe a reform of the corporate tax code, maybe some trade agreements, but otherwise it might be a rough 2 years. Derek Thompson from The Atlantic, thanks so much.
Yeah, settle in for the long freeze. Thank you.